Let us praise God.
Page 328, Surely the Presence of the Lord.
Let us pray. In the gift of the moment, in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the lifting of your name, praising you for being present with us, and for all that we bring to this second, to this moment, to this day, let us give you thanks and praise. Thank you for inviting us to your house. Now let us praise you as if we truly believe you are here with us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Our hymn is page 462, 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus. After that, you will remain standing for the Nicene Creed, which is 880, and the Gloria Patri, which is 70, or you can just look on the screens and read it from there. Let us sing together.
And to take it at his word.
us, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more.
As we remain standing, let us unite in this historic confession of the Christian faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, all of us, that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through Him all things were made. For us and for our salvation He came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day He rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and His kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Now to join me in this time of prayer, first the silent prayer and then the pastoral prayer and the Lord's Prayer. During the time of pastoral prayer, I will ask that if you want to name someone who needs prayer, do so. Would ask that you use only their first name as we do that. Let us be in prayer together. We come to You this day, O Lord, with so many people on our heart. We ask, Lord, that You would be with Jane and with Frankie from the Chevron Church, that You would bless them. We'd ask that You would be with Bill and Dora from our Pleasant Hill Church, that You would bless and give them peace and strength, and that You would walk with them in their healing. We ask, O Lord, that You would be with Jonathan from our congregation, that You would help him and be with him in his healing. And we know, oh Lord, there's so many others that we would like to mention. So we ask, Lord, that you would lead us in that. And if there's someone we want to mention, let us do so by lifting up their names to you this very moment.
Daniel and Katie.
Debbie.
Amen. Amen.
Ben.
Amen. Our world and the people of our world who suffer through wars and through living in refugee camps that struggle for the very food to eat today. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. And let us pray, O Lord, that you hear the prayers of all those who are in need, for those who struggle for life, for those who have struggled through the process and the grief of losing life. And that you would walk with us, that you would care for us as we go through this time, that you would be with our church and all the churches on our charge, and you would bless them, and that you would heal those who are sick, both of mind, body, and spirit. And that you would open our souls to the hearing of your Spirit speak back to us, that we would know that your presence is there. So help us, O Lord, to be fully and completely engaged with you, whatever that means for each of us, because it would be different for all of us. The similarity would simply be that we believe in you as our Lord and Savior, and we are engaged with you in prayer and in thought. And even that would look different for each of us. So let us pray for healing. Healing of our nation. Healing of our world. And let us open our soul to the healing of our very selves, that we would feel the power of your Holy Spirit upon us. Now grant this day that we would hear you, and that our prayers would be answered, and that we would see that answer maybe differently than we ask, but we would see it fully with our Christian, our spiritual eyes and ears. And in doing so, let us hear you with all that we do. Now allow us to pray the prayer that you taught your children, the apostles, when you said to them, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We'd ask if you're able to stand and sing page 526, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Let us stand and sing together.
Never be discouraged. Take it.
Seated, would ask our ushers to come forth this time. Let us pray together. The gift, the real gift is ourselves to you, O Lord. Because the first gift was you to us. Let us give to you with that in mind. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Sad goodbye.
I'd like for you to find your Bibles, whether that be ones you brought, the one that is in the pew, the one that's on your phone, or the one that's on the screen. Howbeit, though, we're going to do more than what's on the screen. So you might need that little book before it's over with, okay, if you have one. So we're in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 20. And for the reading, we'll read verse 1 through 15 of chapter 20. So if you are able, if you would stand for this reading, let us do so to honor God. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing out on the marketplace and said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, "Why are you standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard." When the evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to the manager, "Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first." When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have bore the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give the last the same as I gave you. Am I not allowed to do with what I choose, with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray. One of the glorious things, O Lord, about it being your word is that we have the written word, we have the spoken word, and we have the word of the Holy Spirit through prayer and the answer to prayer that comes to us, because the word is living no matter whether it's written, spoken, or comes through the Holy Spirit. It is a living word. Let us live that word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So this is another one of the parables that is linking the kingdom of heaven is like something. And we've talked about that before. Just want to point it out to you. It's like this. It's not exactly this, but it's like this. And it talks about in this that there's a hiring going to happen. The hiring happens that he goes out in the morning, usually about 8-ish, could be earlier. And he hires those who are in the marketplace. And he's hiring them to work in the vineyard. Now, friends, I don't know much about raising grapes. Okay, let's be honest. I know nothing about raising grapes. I know we raise them, they're on vines, and we pick them and they become grape juice and wine and other great and wonderful things. That's what I know. But I do know from reading that grapes have to be harvested when they're ripe. You wait too long and what happens to them? They spoil on the vine. Now there's a real temptation to go away with this and say there's a lot of people I know that are spoiled on the vine, but we won't go there today. That's another sermon for another place, and so we'll leave that one. And so he hires them and he sends them out, and they agree to the usual daily wage of the denarius, or as close as we can come to that, one penny. They agree to it. Goes back at 9 because he's in harvest season looking for other people, because obviously the people he have out there is not enough to get the job done. Comes back at 9, he hires them. They go out and he says he'll pay them what it's worth. No agreement on money. Goes back at noon. Does the same thing. Goes back at 3. Hires them for whatever the pay will be. And then he goes back at 5, and the only people he questioned about why they're still there is this group. And they say, well, because nobody hired us. I would have been tempted to say, well, if you'd have been here at 8, you'd have got hired. But that's not what happened. He hires them at 5, knowing that the end of the day will be at 6 o'clock. They're hired for 1 hour at most. And then he brings them all in and he pays them. Now before we get into the pay part, here's why I said you really need to have your Bibles with you. Because I want you to walk through me with something. The Bible study group are always used to me saying, what is the question that's being asked? Jesus really doesn't just give parables for the heck of it. He's either been challenged by somebody, Pharisee, Sadducee, scribe, or somebody's asking him a question. I promise you, if you go through the scriptures, New Testament scriptures, with the Gospels with Jesus, you'll find that he does most of his work in response to what somebody has asked or said. Okay? If you go back to the next chapter, chapter 19, and look at verse 27. This is in this long discussion with the 23, Jesus said, disciples, truly I tell you, it will be hard for the rich person. It's in that discussion. All right, y'all know that conversation. But he goes to 20, verse 27 and says this. Then Peter said in reply, look, we have left everything and followed you. What then will we have? All right, live into this with me. Peter's looking at Jesus. We left everything. What do we get out of it? What then will we have? What's going to give us? And when we gave up family, gave up house, we followed you. And at this point, they're 2 years plus into this conversation. What are we going to get, Lord? What are we going to get out of it? Now, you just got to love Peter. Nobody else has enough courage to ask Jesus this. And he comes down to ask, what are we going to get for it? There are many a day I wish I could just go and sit on a rock. I don't want to be able to interact. I don't want to be building booths. I don't want to do anything but sit and listen. and listen to the faces, watch the faces and the voices of people in this conversation. When Peter asked him, we've done it all, we've left, what then will we have? What do we get? There's several answers here, but I want you to follow it. Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, at the renewal of all things, the end of times, what a lot of y'all think of this, the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man is seated on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, again, a sideline on this just for a minute. Remember, at the point of this speaking, Judas is part of the 12. Okay? Don't ever forget that. We know what happens to Judas. We understand the story. But at the time of the speaking, Judas is part of the 12. We always want to just toss him out here and know there's another apostle going to be called, and then we're going to have Paul, and we have all those different things. And that's fine, but don't at the moment of hearing it do that, because at the moment of saying it, Judas was one of the 12. Just always remember that. All right, so. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or fields for my sake will receive, and notice the answer, 100-fold. 100-fold of what? Well, if you truly believe that we are family, if you truly believe that we Christians are family through the Holy Spirit, you have received through your work, through your calling, through your answering, a family of God that is much greater than we can ever understand or appreciate. It's more than 100-fold, it's 1,000-fold or 1,000,000-fold. You are brothers and sisters with all who believed in Christ. And frankly, friends, even on the Mount of Transfiguration, you are brothers and sisters with Elijah and Moses that stood on that mountain with Jesus. That's your family. Spiritual family, in some ways, not all, and I understand that, but spiritual family can be as tight, if not tighter, than family who's related by blood. In fact, there's some folks who have lost their family who they were born into, and the family they have is their spiritual family. That's who they work with, relate to, and love together. But then he says this, and I did it separately because I wanted you to hear it separately. And will inherit eternal life. Receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. So, the very next sentence says this, but many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. So that person who accepts Christ as their Lord and Savior, as they're on their, as we say, deathbed, are they saved? Do they inherit eternal life? Yes. But they don't inherit all the blessings of living a Christian life that has gone before because they did not live that Christian life. They can't inherit those things because they didn't live it. But they inherit eternal life. And so the family that they inherit will be there waiting on them. They didn't get to see the blessing of prayer requests being answered and the joy of family coming together. They missed those things, but they inherit eternal life. This is where your chapters and verse do you an injustice. Because when you start 20 verse 1, you're starting something new. No, Jesus is still answering the question. He's still responding to Peter, and I'll tell you why we know that in just a minute. So then he goes to the story of the vineyard and those being hired. And we get to the end of it. What happens to the last people hired? They get paid first. They are given their gifts first. And those who have been waiting in line, you want to get a really good picture of this, go to Revelation and watch those who are underneath the throne of God, those saints who have come through the tribulation, look up at God and say, "How long, O Lord, how long?" You want to get a real good view of this, just go read that section through there. They come and pay them first. And then verse 16, which we did not read. "For the last will be first, and the first will be last." Hence, Jesus finishes the story of the question from Peter all the way over here with the examples of hundredfold inheritance, giving eternal life, or inheriting eternal life, and again makes the statement the second time, the first will be last and the last will be first. So those of us who live today, I'm going to make a, and don't you tell anybody, I'm making a prophecy now. I'm making a pretending, okay? But if I get it right, then I'm a prophet. But anyway, Jesus comes back tonight. He could. I'm not saying he will. I'm just saying he could. Because I don't have that knowledge. Even Jesus didn't have that knowledge, so why do I think I have it? But for the conversation this morning, Jesus comes back tonight. We're in heaven. We're in that great place of going through the judgment for those who have saved. Who goes first? The last shall be first. And the first will be last. There's a challenge that I've given, whether they realized it or not, during Bible study that I give you today. It is easy to read chapter 20, 1 through 15, or 16, and not know why it's being spoken. Not understand why God is giving this to us through Jesus. If you don't know the question, it's impossible to interpret the answer fully. If you don't know why Jesus is giving this to us, it's easy to say, "Well, isn't that nice?" You know, and by the way, I think I'm with the guy that got hired first. I should have got paid more. Don't you think if you work 8 or 10 hours, you ought to get more than a guy that worked 45 minutes? How many of y'all on your jobs have worked for a company 40 years and they hire some young whippersnapper with a degree and pay them twice as much as you get, even though you've got 40 years of experience? Don't you look at me and tell me that didn't hurt your feelings. You might keep on the job and you might keep working just as hard, but you look at that and go, "Why does that guy or gal get that money and I have to sit over here and get the same amount?" Preachers are not people who are away from that. How many times have I heard, and you too, Miss Mary Lynn, as a district superintendent's wife, have you heard people say, "I don't know why they got the big church. I'm just as good as they are, and I've served more years." I know why they got the big way. Listen to it. The very fact that you think big churches are more important than small churches is probably why you don't get the big church. Because all big churches are, by the way, and we love our big churches, but all they are is a bunch of small churches that gather together on Sunday morning and worship together. They still do more things separate than they do together. If they didn't, they wouldn't survive. What's the conversation? we're in line on that judgment day, and the first go, last go first, and Jesus says, send them on into heaven. And they're getting their crown, whatever that means. I've heard that so many times. Sometimes I think we've read too much into that. But anyway, we get our crown, and we get, and I'm still one of those that I like the scripture of the King James that says I get a mansion instead of just a room. Read King James, you get a mansion. Read the NRSV, you get a room. Pick the one you want there. Well, you know, I've been doing this, Lord, since before you even came. Shouldn't I got a mansion? If that's how we look at our Christianity, I have something to share with you. You're going to act the wrong thing. Remember, God bless us all. We're all saved by grace through the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. Who paid the cost? Jesus did, not us. Now, we have paid cost. We have endured. We have struggled through time. All that is absolutely true. But we watch this. So here's my challenge that I have given to them, give to you again. When you start reading something, find out why Jesus is saying it. Read before. You may have to go back a while. Sometimes it's not like it is today where you get back to verse 27 and there it sits. Sometimes you got to go two or three chapters back to get it. But there's a question. There's a statement. One of my favorite. It is not a question, and yet it becomes questioning. Nicodemus sneaks out at night in John 3 and goes and has a little talk with Jesus. And Jesus says to him, you must be born again. And Nicodemus is going, well, I'm 6'3". How do I enter the womb of my mother again? Oh, how big Nicodemus was. It just sounded good. So how can I enter the womb of my mother again? All that happens. And the reason you get John 3:16 and 3:17 is the response to this conversation with Nicodemus when he tries to say to him, why, how, when he said, for God so loved the world that whosoever believed in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. I have come not to condemn the world, but to redeem the world. The answers come from trying to explain to Nicodemus what it means to enter the womb again or be born again. It all sits there. And I've learned through the years, if I can understand the question, I really do understand the answer better. And I would guarantee you one last thing here in your life. If you ever understand the question somebody's asking, you have a better chance of answering it if you don't understand the question. And we all know this person that you come and start to talk to them and you don't get half your statement out till they begin answering the question before they even know what the question is. Because when you're that smart, you can answer anything without knowing what the question is. And almost always, they never get it right. Look for the question. Listen to it. If you're not careful, you might inherit eternal life. And there's a great answer to the question. Let's pray together. God's gift to all is the question. And then the answer. God's gift to all is inheriting eternal life. And God's gift is the last shall be first. And the first shall be last. And yet one thing is for certain. Whether we're first or last, guess what we receive? The wage of the day. And for us Christians, that is eternal life. Let us accept the gift and rejoice in it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The closing hymn is Trust and Obey. The altar is open if you'd like to come and pray. It's 467. Stand and sing as we sing. Now let us go in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, listening for the question, hearing the answer, and accepting the gift for all. May we go in your peace and your love. May God's grace overwhelm us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.